Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. My joy this morning to have an opportunity to share God's word together with you today. So I'm going to invite you, if you take a moment, find the Bibles that you perhaps brought with you today. We do encourage you to bring your Bibles with you to worship. So if you have the book of the Bible, you can pull that out. If you have the app on your phone, you can find that. If you're at home and have the web browser open, want to open a tab, find Bible Gateway or something like that, find that as well. We again are going to be in the book of 1 Thessalonians, so deep into the New Testament, after the book of Philippians, then you have Colossians, and then you have 1 Thessalonians, and we'll be in chapter 5 this morning. We're looking at just a couple of verses 19 through 21. So find that scripture passage, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. We here at Westview this fall have been declaring that we intend to be a recovering Christian community that is recovering Christian community. We name that just like, you know, every other organization and school and business and church all across the world, that we have felt and continue to feel the heaviness, the polarization, the divisiveness over the last, you know, 18, 19 months, or even longer than that, in a whole bunch of different realms. And so we are naming that even while we as a community are still in recovery, we're not done with this, we're still working through this, but even while we are in recovery, we are seeking to proactively pursue the essence of good, healthy, edifying relationships with one another as a part of a Christian community. And so we are a recovering Christian community that is recovering Christian community. And in this fall season, we've been here in the book of 1 Thessalonians. We've been looking at some of Paul's words of wisdom to us and how we live in relationship with God, but also how do we live in relationship with one another. And we've talked about things by just being joyful and being kind, having respect for one another and encouraging one another. Last week, we talked about prayer and how prayer is an important part of a recovering Christian community. And we named at the very end how important it is that we pray for each other. And if I could, let me just tell a story that just blessed my heart this week. I was talking to a member here at the church, and she shared with me that on Sunday night, so just a few hours after our worship service, she said, you know, I was sitting there and someone came to mind. She didn't even tell me who, but someone just came to mind. And she said, you know, in any other circumstance, I probably would have just said, oh, that's a nice person. I hope they're doing well. And then moved on with the rest of her night. But because of what we talked about that morning, she said, you know, I stopped and I paused. I figured the Spirit had put that person on my heart for a reason. And so I prayed for that person. And friends, I hope that that is just one testimony of many that perhaps we had this past week where the Spirit laid someone on our hearts. And we were able to pray for them as we pray for one another. That's part of a recovering Christian community. Well, we've got another great passage before us today, another great item to think about. And so I'm excited to talk about this one with you. Hope you are ready as well. Let's pray together, and then we'll dive right in. Let's pray. Lord, we are grateful for this time this morning that we get to spend in your word. And we are grateful this morning for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who inspired Paul to give us these words. The Holy Spirit that allows us to have a mind and a heart open enough to read and understand and process and talk about these words. And the same Holy Spirit that will then fill us and empower us to go live according to these words. So God, we just name this morning that as we talk and share and process together, we can do our very best, but we need the power of the Holy Spirit to be with us. And so Holy Spirit, we do pray. You be sovereign over this time. We ask all this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. I'm going to invite Josiah to come and read our scripture passage for us this morning.
First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good.
Awesome. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you reading our scripture passage for us this morning. So I have a question for you today. The question is simply this. Do you like to grill? Anybody like to put a piece of meat on those grates and just let the heat do its work? Anybody like to grill? Yes? I love to grill. We grill all the time in our house. We grill in the spring, we grill in the summer, we grill in the fall, and we grill all winter long. And I have been known to stand on our back deck in front of the grill with a winter coat on, a stocking hat on, gloves on, and of course, you know I'm wearing shorts and slides. But because I love to grill, and because we love to grill, and because we grill all the time, my grill gets dirty. My grill gets greasy. And cleaning the grill is about as low on the priority list of household chores for me as it can get. I do not like cleaning the grill. And so then what happens is something like this. Check out the screen here. Anybody ever have that before? Now, I know what I'm about to show you is the absolute wrong thing to do, right? You're supposed to let the grease burn off. However, most of the time, I'm in a hurry, and I got to get the food done. We got practice. We got a meeting. We got something going on. So I got to get dinner going here. And so I know this is wrong, but this is typically what I do. I'll show you the video here. I know it's not the right thing to do. I know it's not a great video, but try holding the phone and staying back far enough so you don't get splattered and doing water at the same time. But what I hope you saw this. I hope you saw the fire burning. I hope you saw the water land on top of the fire. And I hope you heard the cold water hitting the hot grates. Psh! You hear that? When I read verse 19, this is what comes to mind. Right? Verse 19, Paul says this, do not put out the Spirit's fire, right? I think about a fire that's raging. I think about the fire then being suppressed. I think about, fire and the Holy Spirit are a natural complement to one another. They go together quite often in the scripture. Right, think with me back in Acts chapter 2 at the time of Pentecost, right? Jesus' disciples are huddled together in a room, and it says this in Acts 2. It says, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Fire resting on each of them, and it says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, when someone is pushing themselves to a greater level of achievement, when someone's just pushing themselves, you know, whether it's a concert pianist or an Olympic swimmer or perhaps someone trying to climb the corporate ladder, we often say about that person, we say that they have a fire within them. Right, that's pushing them harder, that's making them strain more, that's making them go harder after something, someone that is faithfully fulfilling what they've been called to do. They're going at it. We say they got a fire within them. And here in Acts 2, it talks about how the fire rested upon them. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. We know that fire is active. We know that fire is powerful. And both of those terms could be applied to the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's role in your life and in my life and life of believers and in the life of the church. The Holy Spirit is active within us. The Holy Spirit empowers followers of Jesus Christ to be the church. The Holy Spirit empowers us to faithfully pursue and to fulfill whatever Jesus is calling us to be about, to seek Jesus, to know Jesus, and to pursue the mission of Jesus. When any one of us comes to know Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, the Holy Spirit takes up residence within us. And the Holy Spirit fuels us. The Holy Spirit empowers us. The Holy Spirit burns within us so that we can seek and know and live into the will of God. And Paul says here in verse 19, do not put out the Spirit's fire. The word means do not quench. Do not smother. Do not throw a cup of cold water on it. Do not restrict the work of the Spirit. So here's my question then. How do we do that? How do I, as a mere person, how do I restrict the work of the Spirit? How do we, collectively as people, how do we suppress the movement of God? Because fire is often hard to put out. So we're thinking about that. I just want to acknowledge that we have our children's worship friends with us here today. We don't always have the pleasure of having you as a part of our worship service during this time of the message. And on these Sundays in which we have our children's worship friends with us, we try to be a little bit more intentional about including them and involving them. So I've got an illustration here this morning that I need some help with. If you are third grade and above, keep your hands down. You're not going to help me out today. But our children's worship kids, four-year-olds through second graders, does anybody want to help me out this morning? Uh-oh. Anybody help? Nora, do you want to help me out this morning? All right, come on. Hey, Nora, can you bring mom or dad with you as well? And I need one other person, right? Carter, you want to help me out? Come on, help me out. And bring dad with you. Yeah, bring dad with you. All right. All right, I'm going to have you guys come up here. You guys can stand here by this stool here. It has a cupcake. And Nora, if you want to hold that cupcake, you can hold that there. Carter, I'm going to have you over here. I got a cupcake over here. You and dad can be over here. You can hold that as well. You want to hold that? See, we had, and I'm just going to hold it really carefully. There are dads, there are washcloths that are wet here, just in case we run into trouble. Hold that nice and flat for me. See, yesterday, we had a birthday in our house. I'm not going to tell you whose birthday it was. I'm just going to say that she's older than I am. That's all I dare to say. Oh, come on, little thing. Uh-oh. Oh, no. There we go. All right, so we got our birthday cupcakes here this morning. And so, Nora and Carter, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. In just a second, I'm going to ask you to blow out the candle. Not yet, but I'm going to ask you to blow out the candle. And here's the thing. You know I'm kind of a competitive person, so we're going to make this a competition. Whoever can blow out the candle first, you get to keep the cupcake. How does that sound? Nora, you up for that? Yeah, how's that sound to you, Carter? You up for that? All right, now I'm gonna say ready, set, go, and then you're gonna blow it out. And then when you have it blow it out, you tell me, okay? You say, Pastor Josh, I got it done, okay? And I'll come and check it out. Are you guys ready? Nora, are you ready? You ready to blow it out, Nora? Why don't you guys go? You guys can go. Go for it. Go, blow it out. You done? Yeah? Yeah? I don't think so. Nora, how you doing? Nora, is it done? Can you blow it out for me? Yeah, that was a really good one. Oh, did you get it? Oh, she might have gotten it. Did they go out? I saw yours flicker. Come on. There it is. Yes. All right. That one's so good. Oh, it came back. Yes. It came back. How you guys doing, Carter? What's going on? Get that fire out. Oh, yeah. Blow it hard. Dads, you guys can take the washcloths and suppress it if you would for me, please. Very good. Didn't they do a great job? It's hard to put fire out, right? Obviously a trick candle, right? Pastor Josh was super mean this morning. I'm so sorry. Because I was mean, you guys can both take the cupcakes and you can enjoy them, okay? All right, you can take the cupcakes. Thank him again for helping me out this morning. You guys can have a seat. Thanks, Nora. You did awesome. Thanks, Carter. Sometimes it's hard to put fire out, right? But here's the thing. Paul seems to have genuine concern here. It's almost a command that he gives to us in verse 19. He says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. And so how do we do that? And why is that important as we're thinking about what it means to be a recovering Christian community? Well, how do we do this? How do we put out the Spirit's fire? I think we could simply name it this way. By ignoring the Spirit's work in our lives. And if we look at this passage and look at the context, and look at verse 20 and verse 21 as well, we could even go further. We could say not only just ignoring the Spirit's work in our lives, but ignoring how the Spirit is working in our lives, how the Spirit is giving to us, we're going to call spiritual gifts. Ignoring these unique and critical gifts, this empowering, these talents, these skills that the Spirit gives to us. All right, so before we dive a little deeper into that, let's just back up a little bit and say, okay, what are spiritual gifts? This is what we're going to talk about this morning. Ignoring the Spirit's work, ignoring the gifts that the Spirit has given to us. So what are these spiritual gifts? Here's a very simple definition. I like this definition of spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are gifts of God that enable the follower of Jesus to perform the work God has called him or her to do. Let me just read that again. Spiritual gifts are gifts of God that enable the follower of Jesus to perform the work God has called him or her to do. This divine enabling that God has given to all who follow Jesus to do the work that God has called us to do. Paul writes in the book of 1 Corinthians that every single person who follows Jesus has a gift, if not more than one gift. And everyone who comes to know Jesus Christ has this divine enabling, is empowered by the Spirit to receive these gifts. And when you and I put all of our unique gifts together, we are able to collectively accomplish God's will for us. These gifts are so important. Spiritual gifts are powerful, they are important. I love what one commentator wrote this. This commentator said that the practical importance of spiritual gifts comes down to three things. Spiritual gifts are for the edification of the church. That means for the building up of the church. They said that spiritual gifts are for the formation of Christian character, that we grow and mature in our own faith. And this commentator said that spiritual gifts are important because they are for the service of the community, for God's work in this world. And so spiritual gifts are a good thing. Spiritual gifts are a powerful thing, a necessary thing. And that is why Paul is so adamant here in verse 19. Paul says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Because if we neglect those spiritual gifts, if we ignore those spiritual gifts, then we are not able to live into the kind of follower of Jesus Christ that God is calling us to be. We're not able to live into the community that God is grafting us to be. We are not able to be the church that God is calling us to be. We're not able to follow Jesus and his movement into the restoring in this world. Verse 19, friends, is a serious word, especially for those of us who are seeking to recover Christian community. I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say that the church cannot fully be the church unless we all heed verse 19. Unless we use these gifts that God has given and put them into practice. I mean, just think about the ministry of a congregation like ours. Think about all the different gifts that are necessary to do ministry. Think about gifts like the gift of teaching. Our Discovery Hour teachers, or the gift of service, like our buildings and grounds crew, or our sound techs upstairs. Think about the gift of hospitality, our greeters at the door. Think about the gifts of leadership, our elders and our deacons. Think about various skills and talents that come from these gifts, like a praise team that can play or sing, like those who are good at encouraging and building relationships, and they connect with our youth. I mean, think about all the different gifts that are employed in the ministry life of a church. And if we want to break this down even further, let's think about just what we're doing right now. We're in a worship service on a Sunday morning. And think with me of all the different gifts that have been and are necessary for us to do this today. I'm going to try to list them off. What scares me every time I do a list is that I know I'm going to forget something. So you have permission at the end of this, what I'm forgetting, because I'm sure I'm forgetting something, you just shout it out, okay? Permission fully granted. But I'm going to go back in history, right? I'm going to go back about 22 years ago. There were people who had gifts of construction skills that were able to build this facility. We have to have a building in order to come and worship in the building, right? Think about the gifts of service and servant-heartedness that we come into a clean building every Sunday. Thank you, Matt, for his work. We have gifts like hospitality happening on a Sunday morning, our greeters at the door and at the Welcome Center. We have gifts of administration, right? You have a program in your hands that has information and all the things that are going on in the screens and stuff like that. Shout out to Sarah for her good work. Right? We have service and servant-heartedness gifts, right? People who set up the chairs and I believe very, very soon, donut holes and coffee. We have technical skills and servant hearts, right? This morning, we have our sound mixer, we have our visual displayer, and we have our, I'm going to call it camera mover, right? We have our tech crew who has gifts and skills that they're using to make this happen, not only here, but also for our online friends. We have gifts of wisdom, right? We have a worship ministry team that meets and thinks about the overall scope of our worship services. How do we communicate God's message to all the different people that gather for worship? We have gifts of compassion right now. We have nursery workers who are serving and loving our kids in nursery. We have teaching that happens, right? On a typical Sunday, not today with no children's worship, but on a typical Sunday, we have teaching going on during service with children's worship. There's musical gifts and skills as our praise team leads us in worship through song. We have discernment and administration, right? When we receive our tithes and offerings, the deacons come and they collect those and they count that, and then they decide, how do we best use these to be good stewards and use them for God's benefit in this kingdom? We have speaking gifts and leadership gifts and prayer gifts, people who are praying and reading and leading in worship, and then again teaching, right? An opportunity to share God's word. That's the list I have. What am I missing? What? Yeah, that's right. We do have a loan on the building. So we have people who can think well about the financial pieces of all the stuff that goes on. Yeah, what else am I missing? Buildings and grounds, yes. And I mean, they did a fantastic job just a week ago cleaning up and fixing things around the building and cleaning up our grounds. So grateful for their servant hearts and their skilled hands, right? Anything else I'm missing? Children's ministry, yeah. Shout out to Lucinda, absolutely. And her team and her volunteers, absolutely. All the people that stack chairs, right? And I heard, oh, you have to stack all of them today. So this side, you're on the hook this week too, right? Right? But servant hearts and skilled hands and strong backs that are willing to stack all the chairs and move them all over. What else? Anything else? Well, there's a lot of gifts, right? There's a lot of things. And think about that. All those things that we mentioned, all the things you're helping me with, all the things I just ran through, all of that, and probably some more that we're all still forgetting, all of that has to be employed in order for us to do what we are doing today. And then next week, and then next week, and then next week. And if something happens, if one person says, or if a group of people says, I don't know if I feel like it, I don't know if I have the time or the energy, I don't know if I want to. If one person or a group of people has that mindset, this all starts to break apart. Verse 19 is such a critical verse for us in recovering Christian community. It can be read as a warning, but I also invite us this morning to think about it and to read it as a word of encouragement. Don't put out the Spirit's fire, but fan into flame the Spirit's fire within one another. That these gifts that you and I have been given, these critical, important, necessary gifts to do what God has called us to do, we see them in one another, we see them in ourselves, we fan them into flame to be a part of the mission and the purpose of God's redemptive work. Put those gifts into practice. Exercise them as a part of a recovering Christian community. Now, as we look at this scripture passage, and we look at verse 19, but also beyond verse 19, we also, as we think about employing spiritual gifts into the life of the church, we also have to have a word of caution. Because Paul offers a word of caution here. And as we look at this passage, and we look at the context, and we look at the context of 1 Thessalonians here, to be honest, we don't know exactly what's happening. We don't fully know the situation that is going on. Obviously, something has happened or is happening around the gift of prophecy, right? A gift that is very similar to preaching or teaching. And we don't know what it is. Maybe the person who has the gift of prophecy sort of got a big head, right? And it's kind of rubbing people wrong and a little too big for their britches, right? We don't know. Maybe the person who has the gift of prophecy is giving some challenging messages and poking the bear a little bit, and people don't want to be poked so much. Or maybe the person with the gift of prophecy is a little amiss off their theology, and something's a little haywire here. We just don't know exactly what is going on here in the realm of the gift of prophecy, but we see that it compels Paul to offer two lessons. Two lessons when it comes to living into spiritual gifts within the body of Christ. The first lesson is found right there in verse 20. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Basically, Paul is saying here, don't despise the gifts in others. I don't know about you, but for me, it is so easy to be jealous of other people's gifts. I mean, you know anything about me, Westview, you know that I am not good with my hands. Like, I cannot fix things, I cannot build things, and I am so insanely jealous of those who can. I'm jealous of those who understand the tech stuff, because that is just not that does not compute in my brain. I am jealous when I see Kevin play this keyboard. I am jealous of his ability to play this keyboard. Like, I see these gifts in other people, and I'm jealous of them. And I can be jealous, and I can be frustrated with that. But Paul is saying here, don't treat prophecy with contempt. Don't despise the gifts in others. Don't be jealous of the other people's gifts. Instead of being jealous, celebrate the gifts. Be thankful for the gifts. I'm thankful that we have a tech crew that knows what they're doing. I'm thankful for our servant-hearted buildings and grounds crew who fix and build and clean up. I'm so thankful that Kevin's willing to share his gifts on piano. I'm thankful for these gifts. So instead of having contempt or instead of having your jealousy around these gifts, I'm thankful for them. Celebrate them. And what we can do then is recognize, you know what? There is not one single person who has ever walked this earth that has had every single gift. You haven't. I certainly don't. And so the thing is, we need each other. And instead of being jealous of what other people have, we can celebrate, say, yes, thank you for the gifts that you have. We can fan into flame the gifts that other people have, and we can recognize that there is a beautiful kaleidoscope of gifts that God is bringing together into this one place, because if God has a purpose for a place, God has a purpose for a community, God will ensure that every single gift necessary is there. And if God has a purpose for us, we can encourage one another and celebrate with one another the various gifts that we have and say, let's put them all into practice so we can follow God's purpose for us. Don't treat prophecies with contempt. The second lesson comes in the next verse. Paul says, don't accept everything without discernment. He says very literally in verse 21, test everything. Examine. Ensure that the gifts put into practice, that the gifts that are being employed are indeed for the edification of the church, for the building up of the church. Make sure that the gifts that are being used are for the formation of Christian character. Make sure that the gifts that are being used are not for selfish ambition, but for the service to a community. Ensure that the gifts are faithful and fruitful for God's continued work in this world. That they're pointing people farther down the path of following Jesus Christ, helping us to become more like Christ. We're living into the purposes of God and they're for the glory of God. And so Paul says, examine. Examine those gifts. Test everything. And if they're good, if they're faithful, if they are fruitful, hold on to them. Hold fast to them. Cling to them and put them into practice. As a recovering Christian community, these verses here, they remind us that all who come to faith in Christ, we are all filled with the Holy Spirit. We're filled with the fire of the Holy Spirit. And Paul is adamant that we do not put out that Spirit's fire, but that we all have our part to play. And as a part of being a recovering Christian community, we all need each other to do our part. I think I've shared this story and illustration with people one-on-one. I'm not sure I shared it here before, but it's about a book that I read many, many years ago already. A book by a church leader and consultant named Reggie McNeil. And he talked about some of the paradigms and some of the dangers of the church as it moved into the 21st century. Now we're, 20 years in. And he talked about how there can be a mindset when it comes to the church. That there's a danger that when we view being a part of the church, that we view the church as a country club to belong to. That we are members, and that we expect certain goods and services to be done for us because we have paid our membership dues, and we're members of this club. And so we believe that we come and we can show up and expect things to be done for us. We are passive, and I use this word kind of lightly, we're passive participants at the club. Paul might say, we join a club, we're letting the Spirit's fire go out. But instead, Reggie McNeil spoke about the different and important mindset of being a follower of Jesus Christ. Not that we're joining a church, not that we're becoming part of a church, that we're a country club to belong to, but we see the church as a movement. Not a place to kick off our shoes and to put our feet up, but a place to get our hands dirty, a place for each one of us to grab the handles of the oar and to row the boat forward, a place where we are seeing the movement of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in the lives of one another, and God pushing us and leading us forward, that we take our Spirit-given gifts and talents and we fan that fire into flame, and we do that for the betterment of our own self, our own faith, but also the betterment of our community and the betterment of our world, that we follow Jesus Christ in mission on this world. We are a part of a movement. Now, friends, I don't know about you, but I know what kind of church I want to be a part of. I want to be part of a movement of the Holy Spirit, a part of a movement of Jesus Christ leading and guiding each one of us to fulfill God's purposes, that we are filled with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and this fire burns, the fire is fanned into flame, the fire fuels us to move forward and to use whatever gifts God has given me and you and all of us together, God joining us all together to accomplish a purpose in which we as a recovering Christian community point one and all to the hope of Jesus Christ. We point one and all to the hope and to the rest that's found in Jesus, and we do all that we do for his honor, for God's honor, God's glory, and God's fame. I want to be a part of a church that's on the move. You too? Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we are so grateful today. And how amazing it is that you know us, that you love us. You've given Jesus for us. But even more than that, God, you have gifted and empowered us by the Holy Spirit to pursue you, to follow you, to seek you, to know you, and to accomplish your will. We give you thanks this morning for the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We thank you for the gifts given each of us. And all the more, God, that you have a plan and a purpose for us and for this place. And all the necessary gifts to accomplish your will are present here. God, may we be attentive to how you have empowered us. May we be in tune to where and how and what you are leading us to do. May we fan into flame the fire of the Holy Spirit residing within each of us. God, we also in the same breath give you thanks this morning for all the gifts that are shared, that are indeed put into practice within this hour of worship, within this day of ministry, within the week ahead, and through the ministry life of Westview. We know that this couldn't be possible without our collective efforts, nor could this be possible without the Spirit's leading. So we pray that we can allow the fire of the Holy Spirit to continue to burn bright here. Lord, this morning we ask that you would hear our prayers of thanks and of gratitude. For the new daughter, for Maurice and Andrea, we thank you for this new precious life, for the recovery of health, for Todd's father. We are grateful and we ask for continued wholeness. We are grateful indeed for servant hearts and hands of those who did the cleanup and the repairs around our property. We're thankful for a new opportunity to serve our local community and school district by providing food for Maple Grove. And God, we as well thank you for the many hands, even right now, during this hour, have been preparing a great time of fellowship and food after our worship service with the pancake breakfast. God, we also pray that you hear our continued prayers for Tom's health, for Harlan and Claire as they care for him. We pray for the upcoming ministries happening yet today, this week, including the lock-in for the middle school. We pray for the governing board, elder board as they meet this week, but also we give you thanks for the leadership of the deacons who met this past Monday. And God, we pray for so much more, all the things in our hearts today. We just pause and we just think, it's just an amazement today that you are a God who is present to us, a God who knows us, a God who knows even the depths of our hearts. And we're amazed and in awe that if every single one of us seated in this place today, every single one of us joining us online, every single person, even in this hour across your world that is worshiping you this day and lifting up prayers to you, you can hear everyone. You know exactly what our prayers are before they're on our tongue or on our lips. What an amazing God you are. Thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for knowing what we say and even what we do not say. And God, it would be our prayer this morning that in wisdom, your great wisdom, you would answer them according to your will. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.